5 minutes till. I'm going to give you a signal.
At 15 now. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
The theme of my subject would be Romans chapter 16, 25. And Romans 16, 25 goes over the Father's will to establish the saints. What we're going to do is, we're going to start there when everyone gets to that point. Now, Romans 16, 25, Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Christ Jesus forever. Amen." Amen. Now, when Paul talks about in Romans 25, verse 25 here, he says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you." Now, we know that's God the Father. And God the Father has a design will that he wants the saints to be established by. And notice the word is not established, but established. And even though they sound similar, the words have different meanings. When you look at the word established means supposed to take a stabilizing effect upon something or someone. Now, the word established would mean to, like we're going to go see over in chapter 1, when Paul says, "To the end that you may be established." And that's the doctrinal, godly goal, that man becomes established by the gospel that Paul preaches here. So, then when you come down, you're looking at what Paul says. When Paul says, "My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began," this is that hidden wisdom of God given to Paul. And where Paul can go out and establish other saints about the hidden wisdom of God. And then when we come down to verse 26 here, when we see when Paul says, "Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith," in all nations is supposed to be established by what Paul calls this my gospel, for their obedience. And you know, when we do that, we show God as being the God only wise, like verse 27 says. And you know, a person cannot know God as the God of only wise if they don't understand the mystery. And if you don't understand the mystery, you're not going to understand God in his unique wisdom, that he took Satan in his own craftiness and he deceived him. And by that, now we have the gospel of the grace of God. Now we have something where we can be established by. And at the end of this chapter, Paul says, "For the obedience of faith." And we're going to look at Romans chapter 1, and Paul's going to start off the chapter the same way. Because it is God's designed will that we all, the all nations, Gentiles, become established to the end by what Paul calls here my gospel. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he has promised afore by his prophets in the scriptures, holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and is declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations." Now, verse 1 says, "Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God." Now, we know that there were other apostles of Jesus Christ, but Paul said he was separated. He was given a unique and different job, if you will, to preach something different, preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. See, the other apostles, they preached Jesus Christ, but they preached Jesus Christ in a different manner, according to the gospel of the kingdom. But here, Paul was given a unique, different gospel given to him for unique purpose. And now over here in verse 5, when it says, "Whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations." And this is Paul showing that he's magnifying his office. He's showing that it is the Father's design will that Paul be the one to preach this gospel to me and you today and all nations, and our obedience would stand. And basically, it's our marching orders. Now, I like to look at that word established. And for that, can you go to verse 11? Just come down to verse 11. Verse 11, Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, I oftentimes purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both wise and unwise." Now, when Paul says in verse 11, he says, "I long to see you." See, Paul had a long and he had a desired will to get to the saints. But it was not only his desired will, it was God the Father's desired will that Paul come unto the saints. But as in verse 13 shows, he said he was let hitherto. See, Satan tried to put a stumbling block in front of Paul with the message. And that's why Paul, like you see here, Paul says he was let hitherto to getting this message across to him. In the beginning, but Paul says in verse 12, he says, "That is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Paul wanted the saints to know the same thing he understood. He wanted the saints to come to understand the same mutual thinking that Paul had concerning the scriptures. And that was his main goal, and not only his main goal, but God the Father's main goal, that Paul become the apostle and get these people established, and that the obedience to the faith be made known and be given to all mankind. Now that, I'm going to take a look at Romans chapter 15. And we're going to see that word obedience again. And then we're going to find Paul magnifying his office again here. Now Romans 15 verse 16. Paul says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I would not dare to speak any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now, again, verse 16, Paul is explaining the fact that he's been made an apostle of Jesus Christ. And down in verse 18, Paul says that he has a job to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And what that is not only is he going to come and establish, present the doctrine to these saints, but also to make it where they can grow. Doctrinally grow, and let the doctrine work from the inside out. Let it work effectually within them, and that's the main purpose. And see, Paul knows at this time he's dealing with some simple saints. He's dealing with some simple saints, but he has a desire that they grow, and that they grow on, and that they become a perfect man. But verse 22, we can come down to verse 22, Paul says, "For which cause I've been much hindered from coming unto you." And there it is again. Paul's explaining the gospel. He explains his position and what he's to preach. But then he explained that he's been hindered. And see, what it is it was Satan's design. And Satan had men out there that was preaching a contrary doctrine. And they wanted to establish men and make men obedient by their word and deed. Yeah. You know, they wanted to get men established by what they taught. They want to self-justify man, self-sanctify man, have man self-exalt themselves, you know. And if you will, can you turn to Romans 16, 17? In Romans 16, 17, Romans 16, 17, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad to all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, Paul in verse 17 says, now I beseech you. In other words, now I pretty much beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. What he's saying is everything you've learned from chapter 1 all the way up to this point here, if any man comes and preach anything contrary, if you hear anything that's contrary, mark that man, avoid him, have no company with him. And then he's explaining it. See, and one thing about it, a simple son doesn't have the capacity to be able to mark that man that caused divisions, because he doesn't understand what he's, you know, what he's teaching. Now, that's why Paul comes down in verse 19. He said, I'll have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Because a wise man has the ability to be able to mark that man. He has that ability to be able to say, you know what? I understand what that man is saying about sufferings, and I understand what he's saying is, that's not true. You know, and when you come down to verse 20, and it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Again, a simple man does not have the capacity to understand and appreciate God the Father as being the God of peace. See, the idea, when you look at this, when you look at this verse here, you see God, the God of peace is going to be doing something by us. You know, you see here, Satan is going to be bruised under your feet. You know, we know in chapter 1 of, we know in Genesis 3, it talks about Christ bruising his heel with the head of Satan. Here, God of peace is using you to do the bruising. And the main reason for that is, see, we know God is going to be spoken about as being the God of wrath. And that's going to be poured out over there in Revelations. And here, it's showing that God in his, as God is dispensing grace and peace and mercy, he's able to take Satan at his own craftiness. He's able to make Satan into outright fool. That's why God is being showed as the only wise God. And if he's the only wise God, then whatever Satan's doing is contrary to wisdom. And when you look at this, we have the opportunity to actually work together with God. We have the opportunity to bring the glory of God out and make him be known as the God of peace.
Amen.
And that's powerful when God can use twice dead Gentiles in this dispensation of grace where he's dispensing peace.
Amen.
And he can go and his power is being made known and being put on display by us.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's powerful news right there.
Amen. Amen.
Now, if you will, I'd like to take a look at the some of the contrary doctrines that man is preaching, that Paul beseeches us to mark them about. Now, when you look at from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 2, now you look at the wrath consciousness of God, and then you look at man's denial of that wrath consciousness towards himself. You know, a man, what he does is he comes along and he says, you know, he uses a relative righteousness scale. What he does is he says, you know, 90% of the time I'm good, maybe 10%, you know, but God's going to judge me by that. And he's going to say, you know what? You have my righteousness. But that's not how God works. The way God's righteousness works is Romans 2:17, when he says, the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. You know, what the idea is that we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ and his righteousness and by his works. And if we don't have that, we got nothing coming. You know? And when you get to Romans 3:21, from Romans 3:21 to Romans chapter 5, now you're talking about the good news. You're talking about the justification and righteousness of God, how we are made free from the debt and penalty of our sins, and how we are justified unto eternal life. But man will come and tell you and say, you know what? Yeah, you can lose your salvation. You know, we're not justified. We have to keep enduring to the end to be saved. You know, and that's another contrary doctrine man preaches, which is worldwide preached. You know, and it's funny that most, if not all, of every doctrine that Paul set forth from Romans chapter 1 to Romans 16, the church world is ignorant of that today. You know, Romans chapter 6 through chapter 7. You take a look at that, you see that That is, you're talking about the sanctification. You're talking about how we can now be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And man seems to think that they sometimes mix up the sanctification with the justification. They think in order to be justified, you have to be dead unto this world, but alive unto God. And see, man, they also come along and they use a work for righteousness. They come along and they say, you know what? I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to work my salvation out. And what they do is their sanctification is a fear-motivated sanctification, not a grace-motivated. And with that, man has come along trying to self-sanctify himself. Also, man is ignorant of Romans chapter 8. When you look at Romans chapter 8, you come along, you see Romans 8, the adoption of sons. And adoption of sons is when we are to be given the opportunity to be able to live unto God as a son. And it's the ability to cry, Abba, Father. And that's something that we, as saints, and especially the whole world, don't fully understand, appreciate that. You know, that's the idea, to be able to work together with your father in his business and what he's doing. Learn to think like he does, do things his way, and work together with him what he's doing. And say, I want to be educated by you. I want to know. I want to work with you in your business and what you're doing. Amen. Not with the adversary.
Amen.
Also, sufferings. The idea of the sufferings of this present time. See, man wants to avoid the sufferings of this present time. But man needs to understand that the power of God is shown through us when we do suffer. Because it's the idea of when we are weak, then Christ is made strong. And the idea of prayer. Man is also ignorant of prayer. And man comes along and think that God is their servant and not the other way around. You know? And when you look at that, you know, you got to understand that people don't understand that God is for us in our sufferings. They think when their sufferings is removed, we know God's not doing it, but they think when the sufferings is removed, that now God is for you. Now God is showing his love towards you when they're not going through sufferings. But you know, the idea, all mankind is going to go through the sufferings of this present time. Now the sufferings of Christ, all mankind is not going to go through that. As a matter of fact, you can avoid the sufferings of Christ, but you won't be able to have the opportunity to let God fully utilize you as a son. Now, when you go to Romans 9, 10, and 11, which a lot of the world is ignorant of, they come along and they'll say that they're spiritual Israel. They're ignorant of the fact of what happened to Israel. They're ignorant of what God did with Israel and actually what God is doing today with those Gentiles. And Romans 11, 25, what God said, I will not have you ignorant of, man is ignorant of that. And it seems to be a big problem with among Christendom. Romans 12 through 16. Romans 12 through 16 is a very important part of the four cornerstones in Romans. That's the final cornerstone of the book of Romans. And that is the establishment of the sons. When you get to Romans chapter 12, you get into a point where the Father wants you to now renew your mind. Conform yourself from this world, but be transformed until what God is doing today. And God wants you to be transformed and renew your mind to his norms, his standards, his loves. He wants you to actually abhor that which is evil. To look upon this world and say, you know what? I see that over there. I'm not going to do that. What I want to do is, now I want to be able to judge. I want to be able to prove what is that holy, acceptable, perfect will of God. I want to prove that and say, you know what? Will this bring honor and glory to the Lord? Or will this bring honor and glory to the Lord? And not only can we judge it like that, we can also judge it in a way and see which way it brings more value. Which way would bring more honor and glory unto the Lord. And there's a lot of truths from Romans through 12. I mean, Romans 12 through 16 about the body issue. About the idea of how we're one. How we ought to treat one another, and how we ought not to think more high-minded of ourselves, and understand that we all have one common purpose. One is the toe, one is the finger, one is the, you know, we all have a common purpose. And when it talks about the offices, it's not talking about the idea of spiritual gifts. It's talking about the idea of what we all can do for the betterment of one body. And when you're looking at that, you see that a lot of people will try to take other saints and they'll try to exalt themselves over other saints, which we're all members of one body.
Amen.
Every person in this room that understands the justification onto eternal life, we're going to see each other with one common purpose, to be in the principalities, powers, mights, thrones, and dominions. We have one common purpose as one members of the body. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to go to turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy 2:15. I know you're all familiar with that. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're not going to I know you're, again, familiar with that, but it's a particular word I want to use here because it ties into the fact about the establishment of the saints. It ties into the fact about marking them which cause divisions. And when you're looking at 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm-hmm. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of times we all say, well, I'm 2 Timothy 2:15, I stand upon that, I'm a workman, you know, I rightly divide the word of truth. But that one part, that needeth not to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. That's the part that we ought to come to understand and know that the people that we're trying to reach, we need to make sure they understand the need to mark them which cause divisions. Mm-hmm. We also ourselves need to understand the need to mark them which cause divisions. Mm-hmm. And see, the common goal is you cannot be utilized fully by your Father if you do not mark them which cause divisions. If you do not mark them which preach contrary doctrine. Because they don't serve our Lord. If they don't serve our Lord, who do they serve? They serve Satan and their own belly. And see, we can end up cooperating with that. And like you see here, like Paul says, that will increase unto more ungodliness. Well, see, that's Christian ungodliness. And see, when you're not doing the will of the Father, what other will can you be doing? You know? And see, what we need to do, we need to fully understand the need to mark them. And again, like I said, a simple son does not have the capacity, he does not have the doctrine stored up in him enough to be able to mark them. And this is why it's so important when Paul comes along in his last epistle here, explaining that this is what needs to take place among the brethren. The need to be not ashamed. Because we see Timothy was ashamed. And then Paul explains to him that I am not ashamed. But we know earlier, Paul was ashamed.
Yes.
You know? Well, now, if you will, can you turn to chapter 3? Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Okay.
We're going to go to verse 10. In verse 10, Paul says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Yeah.
But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, Paul comes along in verse 10 and he says that he's been an example to Timothy. You know, not only has he known his doctrine, but he says, you know my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. What he's saying is, for the doctrine's sake, Paul endured them. As he said he went through them, but he said he endured them. But then he said the Lord delivered him. See, the physical man endured it and went through all those things. But the inner man was the one that gained the deliverance. Mm-hmm. The inner man was strengthened with doctrine, mm-hmm. for Paul to strengthen Paul in his time of need. And see, Paul was given the gospel to, of course, teach others, but not only teach others, but to be an example. And not only an example, but an example onto others. So we can understand Paul's manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, charity and patience, persecution and afflictions. Now, what makes us think that, you know, we see Paul go through these things, what makes us think that we're supposed to avoid these things? Now, we know we're not going to face stoning today, some would hope, but we know that the afflictions, a lot of us don't want to get in the ring and mark, right, exactly, mark the men, mark them that cause divisions, you know. A lot of us don't want to take a stand when we hear contrary doctrine.
Amen.
You know, and what happens there is the ones that we're trying to teach, the ones that we're trying to reach, what happens is now it hurts your testimony. Because these people are hearing these other people proclaim this. They're proclaiming it loud. On a daily basis, they say what they want to say, these gospel cliches, or want to give you a pamphlet here, or you know, but we, some of us can tend to clam up. But the idea is that when you study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not ashamed, you do what verse 16 says, you use that scripture, that all scripture, and you use it for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And when you take that doctrine and you use it the way God intended for you to use it, you're able to not only mark them to cause divisions, you're able to actually make a stand and bring honor and glory unto your Father. And be an example like Paul was to other saints. And to not only other saints, but others that could just be listening by. You know, but when Paul says in verse 13 here, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And that's the same thing that over there in Romans 16:25, when he says, when people come teach you contrary doctrine which you have learned, mark them and avoid them. Yeah, because what they are, these evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse. They're going to keep preaching this contrary doctrine. But it's up to you as a son to stand upon the scripture, all scripture, and the end result is, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that's the end result, that we be conformed in the image of his son. And that we don't think that we can't learn anymore. We don't think that we can't progress and we can't grow in the scriptures, because the design of God is that we grow. The design of God is that we come from a simple son all the way up to a man of understanding. Like the Proverbs. Yeah, exactly. Unto a perfect man. And that's the goal, the common goal. But it's up to us as sons to take this doctrine and mark them and do what God the Father called us to do, and stand upon rightly dividing the word of truth and upon the doctrine we have been learned, learned and been established by, because it's for our obedience to the faith made known among all nations and to you also. And with that, say thank you.
Amen.
Amen.